And so we're going to look at Jude, the same verses, verses 8 through 11. We're going slowly but surely. So verse 11 says, "Yet in the same way these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued with the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these men revile the things which they do not understand and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah." So last week we read of the angelic majesties, and or the translation says dignitaries, and we ended up with the thought that they are saints whom God has placed on this world. They are the light of the world, who God has given this light. And these are the men who God has placed to feed his sheep, to pasture his flock, and so forth. And these saints God placed, they are being blasphemed. And because of the radical message which they preach, whom their master has given them. So how does this picture of, in the next verse, verse 9 of Michael the archangel, tie in with what we just read so far? What is Jude trying to tell us? Again, verse 8 says, "Blaspheming dignitaries or angelic beings," which are the saints whom God has placed. And so, what is he? What's the connection here? Let me ask a question. Would Michael, the archangel, be wrong if he would judge the devil, if he would judge Satan, if he would have stated a railing judgment against Satan? Would he be wrong at all? I mean, we're talking about Michael, who is next to God's glory, who's in the presence of God's glory, and yet Satan, who's the lowest of all creatures, who was standing so high but sinned and fell to the very lowest. The answer would be yes. He could not judge. That's not in his place to judge. Michael cannot judge. That's not the question to ask, is if he could judge him. The question is, can anyone judge? God is the one who is ultimately the judge of his own creatures. God is the judge of his own creation. He's the one that's going to carry out vengeance. And he's going to judge those who are deserving of the judgment. What Jude is showing us through Michael is that he didn't pronounce a railing judgment because he wasn't ordered to do so. He's showing that he is obedient. He's showing a characteristic of godliness, which is obedience, through doing what he was commanded to do, and in this case, to take care of the body of Moses. He came there to take care of Moses' body, and that's it. He didn't need to do anything with Satan. He just said, "The Lord rebuke you," and carried about his way. Again, showing obedience is a characteristic of godliness. What can we apply with this? How can we apply this situation for us, for ourselves? We as believers, we don't have any authority of ourselves, of our own. We don't have any authority, which the world thinks that we do when we preach the message that's in scriptures, a message of repentance or homosexuality is wrong or so forth. They seem to believe that it's our message, that it's what we are preaching, it's that what we are saying, when really we're just following God's orders. We are saying what he has told us, what he has commanded us to say. So we ultimately don't have any authority whatsoever. Our authority is God's authority. Neither do the angels have authority. So our authority is God's authority and his word. And we are under his authority, and we are his messengers. So that's the application that we get through this situation here, is that we, as Michael the archangel was obedient, we likewise are need to walk in the way of obedience. Then Jude says in verse 10, "But these men," who are these men? What men is he talking about? In verse 4, "certain men who have crept in." These are the same men what we have been talking about, false teachers, false prophets. Verse 8, "But these men," And then he says three things: defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme. These are the same men here that Jude is talking about. What about these men? What is Jude trying to tell us about these men? They revile the things which they do not understand. These men, they blaspheme. That's revile. That's the Greek word blasphemeo, blaspheme. They are blaspheming the unknown. First thought that came to my mind when I was studying for this is, who would ever blaspheme something that they don't know? Why would you blaspheme something that you don't know? I couldn't understand that. Someone doesn't know something, why would they blaspheme it? The answer is because they are the two lights, the darkness and the light, are the two that are at war with each other. And those who are in darkness are not in the light. And so that's why they blaspheme those who are in the light, because they themselves are in the darkness. And these men have heard enough. These men who are in the church, who are the apostates, who have been hearing enough preachers, who have been hearing enough messages, who have heard and read enough of the scriptures, they have heard enough to not like it. They have heard enough to reject it, to blaspheme it. And they have heard enough to stand against it, to enjoy sin, satisfy the flesh, and feed their lusts. They have heard enough to reject the message altogether because they love darkness rather than light. So that's the definition of an apostate, is those who have been under the truth, who have heard the truth but left the truth. They revile because the conscience is being disturbed. That is why they revile. Why do they revile? Because their conscience is being disturbed when the message is being preached. Sin is being brought out into the open. Instead, they want to hear messages that suppress sin. They want to hear messages that cover sin, that bury sin, that don't bring sin up. They want to leave it down. They want to hear messages such as God is love, who cannot condemn you because God is love. And they want to hear messages that God loves the sinner but hates the sin. So God will only destroy the actions and not the sinner, right? And that all religions are alike, that lead to God. They're all roads lead to Rome. So that's what these men who revile the things which they do not understand. They preach, they teach things. These are the men who are in the church, who they have no understanding of spiritual truths. They have no understanding. Next he says, they are like animals, like unreasoning animals. They know things by instinct. Like I said, so when truth, their callous hearts are so hard from listening to what their itching ears have been heard over the years, that truth is hated. Let me ask you a question. When truth is absent, what happens? People began to live on feelings and instincts. People began to live on what they assume is right and correct when truth is absent. And that's exactly what Jude is saying in verse 10. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. So living by instinct or feelings, it only leads to one way, and that's destruction. Instincts, feelings, emotions, etc., apart from the gospel message, only leads to destruction. If you read in Jeremiah 17:9, we read the heart of emotions. The heart is the emotion of a man. 17:9 says the heart is desperately wicked. So if you are to rely on your instincts or your emotions, it is desperately wicked, and it will lead you to where the wicked dwell. Genesis 6:5 says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So we know that man that's being led by instincts is evil continually. Who has never been born again, who walks by his own instinct apart from the gospel message, Believers have an instinct too. That's the Holy Spirit guiding us. But men left to themselves, apart from the gospel message, apart from the Holy Spirit, have an instinct that leads them to destruction. No man has ever been able to escape destruction by instinct. We read of Noah when he preached the message of righteousness. When he preached repentance. When he built the ark, no one came. No one by instinct saw that destruction was going to come and come to the boat. Everyone was too happy and satisfied with their flesh and with their sins. And we also see the same thing with Lot. When he preached, when he told them, what is it that you guys are doing that's wrong, they still wanted to rape him and the two angels. By instinct, no one can be saved. No one can be saved by their feelings or by their emotions or by instinct. They say that when a ship is sinking, you are to follow the rats. When a ship is sinking, you know, down to the bottom, you look for rats. Where the rats are running, that's the path that you are to follow. You are to follow the rats because somehow by instinct, they know the way out. If anybody's seen the movie Titanic, they were running after the rats, you know, same principle. They know by instinct how to escape destruction, but not with God's destruction. No man knows how to escape God's destruction except by one who has experienced God's wrath to the fullest, and that is through Christ. And yet false prophets, what Judas is saying here, the main theme, what Judas is telling us, that false prophets, they remove this God, they remove this truth, God's grace, that destruction is coming upon the sinner unless one repents. And yet, and that false converts arise through the message that they preach. I was thinking about how could I compare them, and I thought of an ostrich. That if anybody has seen an ostrich running from an enemy or from someone that wants to eat him, he's running, and he sees a hole, and he sticks his head in the hole, and he believes he's hid. He believes he ran away, or he's no longer in sight. That's it. He can't get him. Next thing he knows, he's on the floor having his flesh chewed on. And that's exactly what false teachers, false prophets, false converts, that's the hope that they have, that they have escaped God's wrath, that they have escaped this through religion, as the ostrich is, who hid his head in the hole from the enemy. Then Judah is saying the things they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. Animals, they don't have reason. They live by instinct. These teachers, these false teachers who have crept in into the church, into the very fabric of the church, they cannot reason. They have no reasoning. They live only by instinct. And their instinct is their flesh. They satisfy their flesh through lusts and passions. That's how they live. That's their gas. They only know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. They simply eat, drink, escape danger, feed their appetites, feed their flesh, so forth. Can you teach a pig to repent? Can you teach a pig to be sorry, to praise, to be thankful? Absolutely not. You can't teach an animal these things. Only a living being could know these things. But yet, these men, Judas comparing as unreasonable or unreasoning animals. By instinct, these men live who are sons of perdition, who have been marked out beforehand for condemnation, where the blackest of darkness has been reserved forever. So by these things, they are destroyed. Like unreasoning animals, gratifying the flesh and all sorts of corruption, there is a feeling, there is an emotion that leads to destruction. That is this feeling of instincts, that these live by instincts, these animals, what Jude is telling them. So they know no other way but the way of Cain, which we read in verse 11. They know no other way but Cain, and have been blinded by money, in which they have erred as Balaam, and they will all perish as did the rebellion of Korah. So what does that mean, the way of Cain? Next week we'll cover that, as we will also discuss Balaam's error and how it leads to destruction and the household of Korah. May the Lord bless his word.